that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The gospel for today is a favorite of everyone, the feeding of the multitudes. A large crowd had gathered to hear Jesus. Evidently, it was something along the lines of a 19th century camp meeting, since the gospel says that after 3 days they ran out of food. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. He blessed 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. They started to pass out the bread and fish, and there was enough to feed the entire crowd of 4,000. The feeding of the multitudes appears several times in various versions in the course of the year in the lectionary. It's a favorite with preachers because there's so much you can do with it. Although I must admit I've never heard anyone address the questions that arise in my mind from the incident. How could these people be so imprudent as to run out of food? How could they all afford to take 3 days off to hear Jesus? Couldn't he have provided something a little more appetizing than bread and fish? Say, bratwurst, sort of the Midwest equivalent of barbecue? For those of you that don't know what it is. What did they drink with the bread and fish? Presumably, if they were out of food, they were out of drink. The feeding of the multitudes is a favorite of congregations because it's non-threatening. It's a story of the kind and gentle Jesus doing a neat thing, a miracle, but a rather tame one. This isn't one of those unsettling miracles like the healing of a leper or the forgiveness of sins. It places no real demands on us. You hear about the feeding of the multitudes. You picture everyone basking in the sun, enjoying the bread and fish and feeling quite mellow. It gives you a nice warm feeling and you go away feeling good. Jesus isn't asking you to do tough things like love your neighbor or control your anger. Nobody comes away from the feeding of the multitudes feeling guilty. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out the significance of the feeding of the multitudes. Well, it was a neat trick. Our Lord was not in the business of doing sideshow tricks to impress and astonish people into belief. The motivation of the miracle is clearly stated in today's gospel. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. The feeding of the multitudes, however, has a deeper meaning. That's why it appears 7 times in various forms in the New Testament. The feeding of the multitudes is a precursor, a forerunner of the Last Supper in the upper room. It is a prophecy of what we do throughout the world each and every Sunday at the altar. It's a presentation of Jesus as the bread of life. Let's take a look at the epistle the church has chosen to pair with the feeding of the multitudes. Maybe we'll get off easy today. Maybe it'll be as pleasant as the gospel. Maybe we'll be able to leave church feeling warm and self-satisfied for a change. Maybe the epistle will tell us what a great job we're doing, that we ought to be congratulated for showing up at church on a hot Sunday afternoon. Maybe it'll congratulate us for being such nice people. Of course, you know better than that. Paul doesn't play that kind of game. Today's epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Evidently, the Romans were a lot like us. They were a constant thorn to St. Paul. He'd think he had them straightened out, he'd go off to visit other congregations. No sooner was he on the road than he'd get word they were acting up again. From the tone of today's epistle, he was really ticked off at them. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. I've tried to be nice about it, but I'm just not getting through. You want to play rough? I can play rough. You have yielded your members servants to iniquity. So now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. You were always pretty good at doing what you weren't supposed to do. Why don't you try devoting that much enthusiasm and attention to doing what you should do? What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? What did you get out of all those nasty things you were so fond of doing? Scheming and plotting to obtain your own foolish goals didn't really accomplish much, did it? Treating other people cruelly didn't produce much, did it? But now, being made free from sin and become servants unto God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. In baptism your sins were washed away and you became a servant of God. Your goal now is heaven. By your baptism, you have a share in it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know that your old evil ways produce nothing. In baptism, God has given to you the gift of eternal life. Why not live so as to enjoy that gift both now and in the hereafter? And just how are we to live so that we enjoy the gift of eternal life in Christ that God's given us? That brings us to today's collect. Lord of all power and might, who art the author and giver of all good things. God alone is the author of good, not we ourselves. We can do nothing good without the aid of God. Graft in our hearts the love of thy name. It's only through the love of God, the source of all good, that we can accomplish anything. Increase in us true religion. True religion is what we need and want. True religion is a way of life based on service to God and neighbor, rooted in the commandments and fortified by the sacraments. It's not the mindless haggling over non-essentials of which Anglicans are so fond. The only religion that's worthy of the name is that which seeks to promote the kingdom of God. Anything else, no matter how elegantly it is clothed, how well-intentioned it might be, or how reasonable it might sound, is vain and useless, without fruit. Nourish us with all goodness, and of thy great mercy keep us in the same. Fill us, Lord, with love of thee, and keep us in this love, so that we may accomplish what you desire, not what we want or think you need. Amen. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we all praise, Lord, honor, glory, and dominion, now and forever, world without end. Amen.